banking. The trustee may open any business checking account, financial account, trust account, etc., which he is authorized by declaration to open, but he must keep in mind that by doing so, the trust will be participating directly in that unincorporated interstate banking association with all its limited liability consequences described above. There is only one type of account that avoids those consequences, the non-interest-bearing checking account. When utilized in conjunction with the following banking practices, the trust and the trustee will remain out of the tentacles of public policy. Unless the trustee intends to play within the system, the trustee should never contract for any credit cards, and if the trust has already obtained them, rescind and cancel the contracts. Open a non-interest-bearing checking account in order to avoid the privileges and immunities associated with interest. Maintain the minimum required balance at all times if possible and unless specific transactions demand otherwise. When transacting business, use that bank account solely for depositing the checks and keeping track of the trust funds. Never send or allow trust checks to be sent across state lines. Instead of writing checks, use postal money orders or the bank's corporate certified checks or corporate money orders when sending interstate payments, and use a bonded or non-bonded agent to establish the account on behalf of the trustee. When opening the bank account, non-interest bearing as well as any other, the following must be provided: 1. The original, notarized letter of authorization, or letter of introduction or limited power of attorney, if being opened by an authorized representative. 2. A copy of the certificate of trust. 3. A copy of the trustee appointment. 4. A copy of the settlor's acknowledgement of trust or letter of introduction, introducing the trustee. There are usually two introduction or acknowledgement documents per trustee, one regarding his fiduciary powers specifically addressed to banking institutions and one regarding his general power to establish all other accounts. 5. A copy of the first and signature pages of the Declaration of Trust. Note: the bank will almost always require evidence of a trust agreement, but the other documents may be sufficient depending on who you are dealing with. If you can open the account without providing these documents, or with providing only a few of the documents, great. Again, this is a non-interest-bearing checking account, so scrutiny is not a priority. Accounts such as this have been downplayed by banks via advertised interest rates, so most people would rather open accounts that appear to have the prospect of interest earnings, and 6. Only if necessary to obtain an EIN, a copy of the filed IRS Form SS-4. Take into account the state of ignorance of the law which prevails in America today. Give only the information needed to open the account, but do not arouse suspicion or fear from lack of understanding on the part of bank employees. If you are able to befriend someone in the institution who can establish the account more flexibly, then do it. You must be shrewd in your methods for establishing the account, since, regardless of which bank you choose, you will be dealing with trained employees who, usually, are just a few screws and bolts away from being robots. You should consult the business tactics of successful negotiators who will all attest that the individual who needs the service is at the mercy of the provider, but the individual whose confidence and attitude subtly convey that his business is in high demand is given services, gifts, perks, not to mention any kind of account, just to get his business. It is not my intention to state the obvious, for in all business dealings, which a bank account is, one must be persuasive to get the desired results. And don't be hesitant to shop around, negotiate, bend perception, and create competition. In the event it becomes unavoidably necessary to the opening of a non-interest-bearing account or if the trustee does see fit to obtain an interest-bearing or other financial account, then he, or an agent, must apply to the IRS for an employer identification number, EIN, for banking purposes. This may be done in one of the following ways that is shown on page 28 in the handbook. The form should be filled out according to the specifications of the trust. I have provided an example of how it has been filled out without a problem. In the event that there is a problem and the filing office needs additional information or clarification, they will indicate what is needed, either by fax, phone, or by mail, depending on the contact information given to them. With both telephone and online applications, the trust will immediately be given a temporary EIN until the hard copy application, which will be sent to the trust address for completion and endorsement, has been returned to that office within 15 days of the original online application. The EIN is valid hours from the moment the voice or electronic application is submitted, but if the hard copy application is not returned within 15 days, the temporary EIN will expire and cannot be used. In fact, it is not permanently registered into the Federal Tax ID database until the hard copy has been processed. With faxed applications, the trust will be given a temporary EIN by fax within 7 days, which will become permanent once the hard copy application is sent in via mail or carrier. And, with mailed-in applications, the application is processed upon receipt, and an EIN is issued via the mail within 2 weeks. The other EIN application offices based on region can be found at the IRS internet address given above by clicking where to file in the side menu located in the left margin of the web page.